new episode of I Never Shut Up Anyway, a podcast about music, love, art, creativity, and entrepreneurship, mainly in the Egyptian scene, but there have been a few outsiders, and that's okay. I invite some of my favorite creators to talk to me about their careers, their journeys, and their art. And then there's the occasional rambling about whatever I'm currently obsessed with. Right now, it's podcasting, which works out great for all of us. Something I've noticed going around is a lot of teenagers and people in their 20s speaking about how they've already failed at life or at achieving what they're supposed to do or what they think they're supposed to do. And I've noticed this going around for a little while now, and it was brought to my attention by myself when a couple days ago I was speaking to one of my best friends and I was complaining to her about how much of a failure I am because I haven't achieved anything memorable yet. And then she said this really great thing. She stopped for a few seconds and then she said, "Jenna, you're not even out of high school yet." And I think that's just, it's such a normal thing to say, but it was so groundbreaking in my head, because I think because of the internet and because of social media, we have been given this great vast opportunity to do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it, through our little phones. And so this has given a great opportunity and opening for a lot of people to achieve a lot of things. And a lot of people have achieved a lot of things, but it has left those of us who haven't, which is the majority of us, by the way, feeling like we're absolute failures, because there are these 16, 17, 18-year-olds who already have their own franchises, who already have their own brands, and we're over here struggling to make it through exam season. But I'm here to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that A, you are not a failure. You're just a teenager. This is what you're supposed to be doing. B, if you really are that bothered by feeling like a quote-unquote failure, then you can just pick up your phone and decide to do something, which is exactly what my next guest did. Zane Frederick is a 21-year-old poet from Arizona, U.S., who has self-published two poetry collections through Amazon. Stick around to hear my chat with him right after the break. Hello, welcome back everybody. We have the lovely Zane Frederick here with us today to talk about his books, Failure, and more. Hello Zane, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, how are you?
I'm great. How are you holding up through all of this?
Oh gosh, I'm doing a lot better. Beforehand, it was a bit chaotic, and I didn't really know what to do with my time because, you know, I had to do school. I had to finish my last semester at university online, had to graduate online. I have to like find a job now. So yeah, at first it was a little crazy, but now I'm just kind of getting into the routine and everything and adjusting. But yeah, what about you?
I had to finish my senior year online, which was terrible. And then we did a little bit of an online graduation thing, which made it a little bit better, but it was just very emotional. It's just all a little bit weird. I don't think anyone has ever done this before. And when you go through things for the first time, you feel a little bit lost and, you know, out of control. So that's been a big thing for me. And I'm assuming for you too, because we're kind of in the same age group, except you're in college. What are you studying?
So I graduated with a bachelor's in, I think it's science, but it's for me doesn't know. It's for hotel and restaurant management. Mm-hmm. And so like I went to Northern Arizona University and they have a really good, I guess you could just call it a hospitality program. And yeah, so I did that, graduated with that. And then I was supposed to work for a hotel company out in New York, and I was supposed to move there in June, but then because of Corona, they pushed it back to January. So now I have to wait.
It's really good that you're still doing it because of a lot of things have just been completely canceled.
Yeah, no, it's so crazy. And I'm very fortunate to still have a job and a position. And even though I have to wait 8 months, I'm still grateful for that. But in the meantime, I'm still trying to find a little part-time thing to
do, yeah.
You know, save and pass the time, I guess.
So are you quarantining on your own? I know you said you have a dog. Are you with your family or your friends?
Yeah, so I am back in my parents' house with, it's my parents, my grandma, and my brother, and then our three dogs. Yeah, so I went to college 2 hours north of my hometown. And then, you know, after everything happened, I pretty much just moved out and moved back in with my parents. So, yeah, it's been nice, but also I miss hanging out with my friends.
Yeah, it could either be moving in with your parents is either the best thing ever or the worst thing ever. There is like no in between. There's no gray area.
Exactly.
Okay, let's just dive into your books because I'm so impressed by them. They're so neat. The aesthetics are adorable. I love the art. And you're self-published. You published them on your own through Amazon, which I think is phenomenal. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But you have two books. One of them is called He Art. He, and then parenthesis, and then art, so heart. Which I think is genius. And then the other one is called I'm Tired of Being a Dandelion. Tell us a little bit about them. You know, did you just sit down and decide to write the book? Or did you have a bunch of journals that you turned into poetry books? You know, tell us about the process. How did they come about?
Yeah. Gosh, that's a loaded question. Because so for my first book, disclaimer, it's pronounced heart, but everyone calls it he art, which I find really funny. Mm-hmm. So I kind of keep
going.
I kind of going on that train of just like going with it. But so with that collection, that did stem from journals and Google Docs, and because I wrote it, I published it when I was 19, but I kind of started subconsciously writing about it when I was 17 and 18. And I took a poetry class in college, and a lot of my classmates and my professor were like, you should. I was like, no way. Like, I can't do that. And then I just looked into it. And yeah, that's where the first one pretty much came from, was just all these journals and like angst and emotion. And
because I feel like that's just how it happens. Like the new trend, or not new, but the trend of poetry books surging from 2015, you know, till now, they're all books that there's no way you sat down and wrote this just, you know, happened.
Exactly. No, that's actually, it's true. Like, I wasn't sitting down to write a book. It was more, I was just writing as a hobby and to, I guess, help cope with what I was going through. And then when I did think about a book, I was like, oh, like, I have all the content. I just have to put it together. And I mean, that's another process in and of itself. Once you have the content, you have to kind of, I had to like chip away at it and take a bunch of poems out and kind of figure out my narrative and what I wanted to say. But yeah, it kind of just happened for that first one. But then that first book helped me a lot more for the second book. Like, I knew I wanted to write a second book. Mm-hmm. And that process was a little easier because I knew it was going to happen, but it was more, you know, what am I going to write about this time? What is the title going to be? Like, I was just more proactive in making it a book and stuff. So it was kind of a mix of me being like, okay, this needs to happen. Like, I'm actively thinking about it. And then also, you know, this kind of randomly happened because I was just writing in general. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Okay, before we get into the second book, I want you to tell me why you self-published, why you didn't publish traditionally, and how you did it on your own.
Yes. So I'm trying to think. Yeah, so like for the first one, like I said, I didn't even really know self-publishing was a thing until I took the writing course in college, and that was my freshman year of college, so I want to say it was 2016. And then literally after that, after I found out about self-publishing, I was just so enthralled by it and interested, and I did all this research, because for what I was going through at the time emotionally, I felt like it was a good way for me to find closure, if that makes sense. Kind of taking all the stuff I'd written, putting it in a book, and then putting it out in the world. And that's like, I know, kind of giving a little piece of myself away. So yeah, like that was more like 2016, 2017 era. I did a lot of research on traditionally publishing. And I've asked numerous other poets who have been traditionally published, and it's honestly kind of just like a lot harder than it appears at first, because I get a lot of questions about that. And my direct messages on Instagram, I have people asking, you know, why did I self-publish instead of traditionally publish? And the main thing with that was, with self-publishing for Amazon, at least, I know there's a bunch of other platforms, but in my case for Amazon, it was free, it was easy. They really do help you along the way. They give you like the step-by-step. There's so many resources. It just made it very accessible to self-publish a book, and that was a huge sense of pride for me. Versus with traditionally publishing, you have to send a manuscript and you have to wait. And I did that with one company. I submitted my manuscript, and then I think I got a response back a few months later, in which they rejected it, which is fine, but it's that process of waiting. And yeah, exactly. And another thing with traditionally published is, if they decide to publish you, you're their sense of income as well. So it's like, you need to have a decent like social media following and like be, I guess, popular enough for people to actively buy your books. And so if that company doesn't see that, then they're not gonna publish you, which totally makes sense, but it just makes the process of it harder, like trying to build a brand and a social media base and stuff like that. I still have a huge dream of being traditionally published. I just know how difficult it can be to get up there in some circumstances, but also I'm at the point in my life where I don't care. I'm not looking at this as a full career, I guess you could say. Like, it's still a passionate hobby of mine. And so I'm fine self-publishing, and I don't care too much about the numbers. I just like, you know, creating and giving it to the world and seeing how people react to it. So, yeah.
I do have to applaud you, though, because I'm really fond of the work that goes into self-publishing your books. I know, with traditionally publishing, you would have to wait a little bit, but once you got the yes, your work is basically done. You're just the writer, you know, and someone else does the editing, someone else does the marketing, someone else is going to figure out the artwork, you know, all you have to do is write. And then if it's a success, you go on a book tour. But with self-publishing, you're the writer, you're the illustrator, you have to do the editing, you have to do the marketing, and it's just a lot of work. And I think you've done such a good job with that. And I think you've built such a platform, especially on your Instagram, with engaged following who are aware of your books and interested in them. And I'm just very fond of the professionalism of the novels and of your newsletter and your website that you have on your Instagram and just all of it. It's a lot of work, and I think you've done a great job at it. So I need a little bit, I need a clap for you, a little clap, because you deserve it.
Thank you. Self-publishing just it's funny you say that, because like I always do tell people that it's easy, but once, especially for the first book, when I first got into it, it was a lot of work, more than I expected, because like you said, I had to be my own editor, I had to make the artwork myself, I had to write everything, I had to figure out the formatting, I had to figure out like marketing strategies, like I had to do absolutely everything for the book. And it took me, I remember specifically, I started creating the book and putting it together in like towards the end of summer of 2017, and then I didn't publish it till February of 2018, so like 7-ish months, I think. It took a while, but for the second book, I already knew what I was doing, so like the process went by a little faster, and you know, I was able to find an editor to edit instead of me having to do it. And then I found an illustrator to do the cover for me. And so I was able to take my experience from the first book and improve it with the second one. So
the second book is called I'm Tired of Being a Dandelion. And you put on your Instagram, you said that the title is about how exhausting it can be trying to get somebody to notice you, or being hopeful about getting someone to notice you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the title came to me, well, first I wrote a poem, I think it is in the second book, called Onomatopoeia, and the last line of the poem says, I'm tired of being a dandelion and trying to get you to blow me away. And I remember when I wrote that, all the things that I had been writing about at that time were very just being hopeful and being hopeless, and more so just in that spectrum of love. And this is also when I was thinking about doing a second book, and I was like, that line perfectly explains kind of what I'm feeling. And again, to kind of explain that metaphor and feeling, it was like, I don't know, when you're actively searching for love, it can be exhausting having to constantly introduce yourself, constantly explain yourself, and, you know, put your heart on the line. And if you get rejected, or if the timing's wrong, or if it's just not the wrong person, like, and then also another side of it, you know, trying to be noticeable to someone and trying to see why you would be good for them and all this stuff. So it's that exhaustion of just trying to find love, I guess. With the dandelion in particular, there's that cute little myth or like legend where, you know, if you blow a dandelion and you like make a wish, then your wish will be granted or whatever. The dandelion serves as this kind of symbol of hope and stuff. And so I tried to weave that, like, you know, I'm tired of being hopeful, and I'm tired of trying to get people to notice me, and I'm tired of always putting my heart on the line. Like, it was that kind of feeling.
I do get that. Even just platonically, it still feels like crap, because when you're giving, even in, you know, friendships, when you're giving more to the person, you know, your friend or whatever, and you're not getting it back, it just, you feel like crap about yourself because like, why don't you love me? Like, why am I not good enough? You know?
No, that's, you literally put it perfectly. And I remember talking to some other just followers of mine on Instagram about, but you know, like friendship breakups, like sometimes those hurt worse than the romantic breakups. And no one talks about that. So I like how that metaphor can also be applied to friendships.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. That's what I love about literature is that it could be about anything. It can mean anything to anybody. It's not necessarily what you meant writing it as the author. All right. Up next, we'll be talking about failure right after the break. Stick around. You can chop Zane's books, I'm Tired of Being a Dandelion, and He Art, that is H-E parenthesis A-R-T parenthesis, on Amazon right now. Just type in their names, and you can place an order, and Amazon will print and send them to you wherever you are in the world. I want to ask you about novel writing. Is that something you've thought about? Is it something you want to do?
I haven't put too much thought into it because I feel like writing a novel seems quite difficult. And I feel like it takes a special talent because there's people who are great storytellers and are great at expanding details and making characters and stories and stuff. And I've done that with like poems, but I think that's why I like poetry because you can make incredibly short little stories versus trying to build this huge long novel out of it. So I haven't tried, but I do appreciate them. I love novels.
Right, so I want to talk about something that some, if not all, authors have to deal with, and that will be failure. Failure, I think, is a very essential part of the creative process, as is boredom, except boredom isn't as negatively viewed or as hated as failure. Failure is seen as this thing that, if it occurs to you, your career is just over. Like, you're done, your life is over, it's ended. How do you deal with failure? How do you view it?
One, poetry is so subjective, like not everyone's gonna love it, and that's okay. You know, I think if there's one person in the room who resonates with your poetry, then you didn't fail. Mm-hmm. But there's such a stigma with poetry sometimes of if you don't get enough likes on your picture, if you don't get enough comments, if you lose at the slam poetry performance. But yeah, I don't know. I seem to take it pretty well. I think it kind of just depends on the context.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good thing that you take failure pretty well. I do not. I think I'm 18 and I have this thing in my head that I think that I've already failed at everything that I was supposed to do. And I think it has something to do with, you know, in this day and age, the internet makes it look like all of these 16 to 17, 18, 20-year-olds have already got their lives, like, fully, they've honestly probably peaked. Like, I will sit down and, like, watch one Billie Eilish interview and be like, oh my god, I'm never going to be anything. This girl, like, started her entire career at 13, and I'm 18, and I still don't even know what I want to study in college. But I think that's just, you know, as, like, a result of the internet. I don't, obviously, not all 18-year-olds are like that. Billie Eilish, as an example, would be a one in quite literally a billion type of situation. It's just something that we have in our heads for some unknown reason. But I do think that failure is an essential part of the creative process, as I said. You can't, if I think if you haven't failed at least a handful of times in your creative journey or whatever you want to call it, then you're not even trying hard enough. Because come on, you don't, you know, if you're not failing, then you're not putting yourself out there, I think. And it's a very important thing to remember, because sometimes we feel so bad about ourselves. Okay, I have all of my guests do this, so I want you to shout out at least 3 artists, writers, poets that you think are underrated and deserve more credit.
You know, I could shout out so many other underrated poets. Like, gosh, I've met so many amazing ones through this community, but the 3 that I think stick out to me the most as of right now, who I think are underrated, I'm going to say their Instagram ads. It's MGM Poetry, Poems by Bella, and Kayla's Poems. They have such great metaphors and aesthetics, and they're so active and engaging in the community, and they're so nice and so lovely, and their work is just incredible. And yeah, so you guys should definitely check them out.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show. I had a blast. Thank you so much for tuning in. See you next time.